Yes, the big adios is a few hours away, and you need to be prepared both for your health and for the earth changes and for bioterrorism, etc. And we're going to provide you the best quality information available anywhere, better than any of the big blocks, television programs, other radio shows. Anywhere else, you're not going to get better quality information that's going to empower you. And we won't just provide you information to scare you. We're going to always provide solutions to every problem. Our co-host here on the second hour on Fridays is Ann Morrison, our scientist. Her blog on our website, linked at NutriMedical front page, is Twiland, TWILAND.info, Twiland.info. Welcome back, Ann. We're ready to go. And by the way, after the show today, and regularly, we're going to do a show recap, and also an update of what we talked about with Ann. We'll have other guests on our live stream TV channel. And if you signed up, you'll get a notice in your email that where it's live, so you can actually call in. We have a call-in number to our, which we'll also announce, for the NutriMedical One, which is our special Skype. And we can also, if you actually sign up to NutriMedical One and send a request, that's NUTRI Medical and the number one, I can respond to that and then with your profile and then approve you as a caller to call into the program, so you can be on the live show. So that's pretty cool. Plus, we have a phone number, too, for NutriMedical One as well. So, and let's start with the top. We've got lots of new information to cover today.
Well, okay, I wanted to concentrate on the question, will Ebola become airborne like influenza? Because there's people that are worried, you know, right now we can get it through personal contact, either touching the body, touching the sweat, or having contact with bodily fluids.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the document that I pulled up here looks like it might be the one from last Friday. I looked at it, and I'm just looking at my Google Drive, and I'm thinking, this looks like the stuff we talked about last Friday in Earth Changes. You probably have an additional one you could send over to me. They're talking about airborne Ebola, right?
Yeah, will Ebola become airborne like influenza?
Yeah, I think that document was one you need to send over, but we'll continue talking. So this is, by the way, something that Al-Qaeda and the Muslims have actually talked about recently, about making airborne Ebola. And it really isn't as difficult as you think. A lot of time, for example, to weaponize anthrax, for example, I could buy something under $20 and weaponize anthrax. I'm not going to say it on air how to do it, because there's some nutcases out there who would probably do it, especially those that want to do a jihad against us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, well, this is difficult. No, it's not difficult. It's just something we shouldn't go there.
Yes, that's right. We don't want to go there, that's for sure.
So let's talk about it. Why do they think it's a danger now? Do they think it'll happen spontaneously, or do they think somebody will whip it up in one of these low-level, relatively inexpensive laboratories with somebody with skill sets but not a lot of equipment?
They think that it could happen naturally.
And why would they think that after how many years that they've known about Ebola, that it's just naturally going to evolve?
Well, think they can either get it out of a laboratory. Now, you'd think that the ISIS people don't have a laboratory that's suitable for that, but there are some very sophisticated laboratories that are supplying ISIS with whatever they can, produce.
They're probably inside a nation called USA, or the United States of America, with the Abominator in the White House. Because we have the most advanced bioweapon lab on Earth. Next behind us is Israel, Russia, and believe it or not, Iran, which is the old Bioprepared program north of Moscow, where the technicians were starving to death after the fall of Glasnost and Perestroika, and they ended up saying, listen, you'll pay us $5,000 a month and give us borscht and Russian sausage, we're coming to Tehran. And Syria, by the way. Tehran and Syria. So if you don't think these people have skill sets and can do bioweapons, you're vastly, vastly underestimating them.
That's right. Now, the other reason I wanted to talk about this is because people hear that Zika is an RNA virus. And they may not be very clear about what that means.
Right.
But we know that RNA viruses are just part of everyday life when you think about what's in your body and how your body operates. So I just want to go over some of that so that people don't get scared just because it says it's a RNA virus.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple of interesting ontogeny things I want to tell you that the public might find interesting. Did you know that every cell of every living thing has receptors for viruses? And then if you actually look at the ontogeny of the structure of virus of our DNA, 97% of our DNA actually can be traced to ancient viral DNA, like a tar paper shack made in Haiti with pieces of old construction materials that float down the river, believe it or not. So what people should realize, viruses are everywhere, and when they go wrong or they start to eat their host or they start to screw around with the epigenetics, that's when things get bad. And, under stress, RNA viruses can mutate up to 10,000 times faster than DNA viruses, which is precisely why the OXY513A gene is a gene plague, is the first gene plague in history released by George Soros and by Bill Gates. His Gates Foundation funded this project, later taken over by Intrexon of Maryland. It says better living through better DNA. What do you think of that?
Okay, I resent the document. You were right. I sent last week's.
That's okay. I managed to jabber for a minute, so now we're all on track.
Now we're all on track, yeah. You're good at that.
I'm good at jabbering. Hopefully I won't interrupt you too much. Go ahead.
Okay, well, just to give our listeners some peace of mind, let me remind you that humans have 46 chromosomes, 23 from their father and 23 from their mother.
Right.
And the 46 chromosomes form a DNA structure. Each of the 23 chromosomes forms an RNA structure. So at fertilization, the DNA of the mother splits, and it forms two RNA structures. And you would think that each of the RNA structures would duplicate the DNA structure. And for the most part, they do. But in some cases, they don't. And then when the RNA structure from the mother fits with the RNA structure from the father, you would think that they would go back and make a DNA structure that was, let's say, competent.
Right.
That is, that it mirrored the DNA structure of each, the father and the mother.
Right.
But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you've got to have... Sometimes the genes, when they mix up, when they reattach, they either reattach to the wrong gene or they reattach in such a way that a dominant gene becomes recessive. And so you can get mutations within the new DNA. So this is at the very beginning. This is right after fertilization.
Yeah, some of those things now, we're going to have Dr. Bruce Lipton on in his book, Biology of Belief, 10th anniversary, October 13th, 2015. We're now discovering that the epigenetics is intelligently redirected, so there's AI within your genetics. In other words, for example, if you have a prion, which is a protein retrovirus, it can actually turn back from protein into RNA and DNA, and take over the cellular structure to make more protein. What we also are discovering is there are actually sections of DNA that are actually like having a coder inside your DNA that, depending on the environment, may code new DNA structures or may affect these processes that are not random recombinations but directed recombinations to adapt to the environment. So what we're seeing is, in a sense, a creative or AI within your genetics and epigenetics. Pretty cool, eh?
Yes, and it usually takes two generations for a shock to the system, and that's what I mean by if something changes in the environment, the parents will register that, and but it won't be passed on. For instance, let's say there's a drought,
right,
and your parents are starving, and that information is encoded in the DNA and passed on
right.
in the RNA.
Yeah.
But even though they go on a on a fasting diet in order to survive, the next generation will not have those fasting characteristics, but the third generation, second generation, will. So this is one way that humans adapt to their environment.
Right, but
so this is not a bad thing.
That's right. It's an adaptive process. The other thing besides DNA that we're discovering, because there's what's called reverse transcriptase, where you can actually turn our RNA or proteins into RNA and RNA into DNA, but there's also ways of your body passing on a thing called microtubules. The way to think of microtubules, they're in every living thing, and microtubules are like solid-state recording of information about the environment that can later affect the epigenetic coding of new DNA. So your cells are not a fixed structure. During your life, you're actually making new epigenetic code and new DNA code that if you reproduce, you'll pass it on. So if you have three generations of people that are, say, drinking aspartame and having high sugar diets, their children are much more likely to turn diabetic.
Yes, and we see that. And that's one thing they saw, and they studied it, and they discovered, DNA isn't set for life because it changes. It changes when it turns into RNA. It changes when it combines during fertilization back into DNA. And besides that, you've got what you just said, changes that are due to the societal changes.
Right, so let's say the human race spreads out over the next 1,000 years to 10,000 planets. You'll see some species of humanity develop different environments, whether they're toxic or gravitational or electromagnetic, that'll start developing new epigenetic substrains of humans that'll become new subspecies.
Well, and we see that in the ISS, in the International Space Station. When the astronauts come back, they can barely walk because their muscles have atrophied. They don't have the gravity that they find on Earth. Now, it doesn't take them too long to get their muscle strength back, but they're only up there for a short time.
Well, the Russians researched two things. Artificial gravity, which is a wheel in space, and the other is vibrational exercise, which we have the Vibroslim machine. So there's ways of getting around that so that you can counteract that effect on gravity. I call it vitamin G for gravity.
Okay, human cells cannot tell the difference between the RNA that is formed during fertilization and an RNA virus. If that RNA virus gains entrance to a cell, then the cell will work according to the RNA blueprint. Yeah. All right. So
in other words, your cells are not xenophobic.
No, they're not xenophobic. In fact, they will take in more than one RNA virus at a time.
Right. So in other words, the more RNA, the better, because they have more. It's almost like a guy that's a mechanic and he likes to put together pieces of stuff that he doesn't know, but he's got a big junkyard in the back, and he's got all kinds of neat junk parts. In fact, I saw this with the Redwood Kings, which is one of my favorite shows to watch on DirecTV, is these guys will take in the junkyard and they cut big redwood dead trees that are thousands of years old.
Yeah.
And then they take this, they go to the junkyard and put things together that look really cool for kids' toys and everything, and, you know, a redwood tree kind of play areas. Well, this is what your cells are like. They say, wow, I got a great junkyard. I got all this junk DNA floating in here, these viruses, and if it can use it. Problem is that the virus takes over your cell, you're in trouble. Like, for example, the OXY513A gene took the Zika virus and added 15 base pairs out of 10,000, and it made it much more likely to attach to what's called the endoplasmic reticulum and do a thing called upregulating what's called the unfolding protein regulator. And when your UPR is affected, it increases the chances of the cell going through called programmed cell death or apoptosis. So the reason why the nerve cells have died is because it was much more neurotropic, attaching to nerve cells and developing fetuses in the first trimester, so their cortex just died. And this is why Intrexon and these other companies are literally foisting on the population on the Earth the gene plagues, because these transposon or jumping genes are like, if you want to call it like a little... the best way to think of it is, you know how you have a virus in your computer? Usually like a DNA virus with an insertion technology to insert itself anywhere in your genetic code and take over the cell. It's really crazy stuff.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about Zika today. We're just going to try to get through RNA and DNA problems.
Right.
Okay, so But you're right. Zika doesn't make the immune system work. And so we want to why does our immune system ignore a virus? An RNA virus. And the first immune cell that a virus will contact is called a dendritic cell, DC. Dendritic
right.
cell. And these cells are a friend or foe recognition by the body. And if they recognize it as a friend, then it'll just flood it into the body and not do anything about it.
Right.
These dendritic cells, if they see it as an enemy, they can delay the immune response significantly.
Right.
When the dendritic cell does not recognize the RNA virus, it engulfs it and carries it to a lymph node. At the lymph node, a nascent T cell takes the surface protein and activates an immune response. Either the T cell attacks the intruder, or it forms an antibody to neutralize it. And then after they've solved the problem of this invader cell, some of the T cells will remain, and they will form a memory of the invading virus. So the next time, then the dendritic cells don't have to take the invader to the lymph nodes. So that's a little faster.
Yeah.
But what's happening is that the dendritic cells are not, they're not engulfing the Zika virus. Or, in fact, all of the viruses in the flavivirus family, they call it a genus, but I call it a family because they're all related and they're all very similar, and even their attacks on the body are similar.
Right.
So I have a chart here that
yeah.
shows the different dendritic cells, and a lot of them are in the blood, and some of them are in the skin.
Right.
Actually, more of them are in the skin than are in the blood.
By the way, we'll have that chart up when we go to our video on live stream and later YouTube after the show.
Okay. And then it'll be immediately on your live stream channel, as I
yes,
remember.
Sir. Exactly, immediately.
Yeah.
And also live, if people are watching the show live, they'll be able to watch it live, too.
Now, you understand that Zika doesn't stay in the blood very long. In 3 days, it's out of the blood. So even, you know, by that time, it's reached a different cell. And some viruses can attach to specific cells because they have a attachment service
right.
surface that acts like a key to open the cell.
Yeah.
For instance, the avian influenza virus uses an attachment site on respiratory cells to push its RNA into those cells. And even though sometimes the virus RNA is the wrong polarity, as is the case with avian influenza, it will use the cell's nucleus to transcribe it into the right polarity. So these RNA viruses are pretty darn smart. In this case, two minuses make a right. This is the fourth type of mutation because there are always errors in transcription. Always errors in transcription.
Yeah, especially in RNA viruses, especially if they're under oxidative stress, which is a mechanism that I proposed in my theory. That's the reason why, with the oxygen, it's making these RNA virus class of these filoviruses mutate up to 10,000 times faster and become more pathogenic.
Yes. And although the DNA can check its products for errors, the RNA can't. So mutation by error is a turtle.
Right.
Slow but sure. Eventually, there will be a mutation in the virus.
Right. But if you mutate it faster and you have a large number of hosts and vectors, you've got millions of places where it can mutate to create a super virus that can do lots of damage. That's why we're in trouble with all these filoviruses like Ebola and Zika. Good science, Dan. Back in a moment.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. If there was ever a doubt in our mind that radio works, it's gone. We have received such response to our $350 down, $99 a month land purchase opportunity from you that we are blown away. To keep our overhead down, we're using an internet-based sales tool so you can buy with confidence and purchase your land in New Mexico with just a click of a mouse and even pay with PayPal. But some people have said they'd like to arrange multiple parcels or have other questions. We'd be happy to talk to you. Call us toll-free at 855-LANDHO1. That's 1-855-LANDHO1. New Mexico land parcels are still available at only $350 down and $99 a month. This is beautiful land near amenities of a city, but far enough away to be private. And in as little as 1 year, you own it. $350 down, $99 a month. As the days go on, the land gets more and more limited. So visit us online at LANDHO.TV. LANDHO.TV right now.
If your home has hard water and it's leaving white spots, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes. Limescale can cost hundreds of dollars a year in wasted energy and early appliance breakdown. HydroCare systems available at Wave Home Solutions prevent and remove limescale with just a simple filter change every 3 years. There are no salts, chemicals, or magnetic coils. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, just go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
If you're a talk radio fan, AccessRadio.net lets you listen to the best talk shows anytime and from anywhere. Works on your mobile or landline phone, and there's no cost if you have unlimited minutes. No need to use your data. Find your favorite talk show listen lines and discover new ones. Now you can listen on your schedule. Go to AccessRadio.net. That's AccessRadio.net. Save your favorite listen lines today.
Yes, it is that dramatic, Anne, but I think we'll preempt the song. It's the end of ignorance, let's put it that way, because we're telling them all the people. I think we need to transition beyond vaccines. When we talk about the activation of antibodies, basically I call them viral and bacterial condiments to your immune system. What we need to do is, what we really need to do is start actually identifying ways of getting specific activated lymphocyte clones of cells and actually give someone a HLA-compatible clone of cells as a anamnestic, literally group or army, if you want to call it a small army, that can multiply like a clone army like the Star Wars, against a specific pathogen or virus. And we could do, we could get multiple armies instead, in fact, like stack vaccines, but there would be no adjuvants, no heavy metals, no biotoxins, and no free viruses, because these would simply be T lymphocytes trained and able to multiply in a response to the representation of an anamnestic stimulus of a new virus or pathogen entering the body. That, to me, is better technology than vaccines, which are iffy. They produce antibodies that may only persist for a short time. For example, with the flu, they did an experiment several years ago, and they discovered that the flu vaccine, even if they had the correct strain, increased the antibodies, IgG and IgM, for only 6 to 10 weeks, only in healthy young people under age 40. And there was no indication of any antibody increase in senior citizens or in children. None. And that's pretty significant. It means even the antibody response would allow them to at least tag the entering pathogen is only temporary. And so if you get a virus that's, say, 12 weeks and the early antibody response is already gone, even the antibody that would tag the pathogen is no longer there. So the science of vaccines, to be honest with you, is archaic. and we need to transition beyond that.
Okay. Because we're going to be talking about the influenza virus, because that's the one that they're afraid that the Ebola virus might start acting like, we have to review the H and N nomenclature. Now, as it turns out, they found more H's and more N's. So if you read something that says there aren't 18 of the hemagglutinin or 11 of the neuraminidase,
yeah,
the H and the N, then you're reading something that's old. And it doesn't really make that much difference because they found the extra ones in species that don't seem to be affiliated with human flu. But you need to know that there are 18 of the H's and 11 of the N's. And I'm just going to call them H's and N's because I don't want to have to say those words again.
Well, not only that, it can cause a brain strain.
I don't want to do a brain strain. Okay. As it turns out, we have a perfect example. The vaccine for the H1N1 flu was made from a mixture within the human body because the attenuated live virus for both H3N2, and that's an avian influenza, and the H1N1, which was the classical swine flu, and also an avian flu, because when they mix the vaccine, and it's an attenuated live vaccine, what they do is they put three of these, or four of them now, currently it's at four, into the vaccine so that you just have to get one shot. Now, I don't know why they did that except to make it easier for the health people so they don't have to do three shots instead of one. But what happened was that they combined.
They combined with the attenuated viruses because they weren't fully killed, is what you're saying, right?
Because it was an attenuated live virus.
Right.
And so the cells that contained all of these, if you had cells that contained all three of these viruses, then they recombined.
Yeah, they should have known that in advance. That was like, you know, like that movie Dumb and Dumber. This is beyond that.
This is beyond that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they reassorted, and we came out with the North American swine flu, which was the H3N2 plus the H1N2.
So yeah, you know the reason for that is they created this virus in the vaccines that they gave the public. The public were the mixing vessel. Crazy, eh?
Well, yeah, the human cells were the mixing vessel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're on break now.
Public Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
And we're now back. I can hear you starting to talk, but our bumper was still bumping. Okay, let's continue, please.
Okay, and we were talking about the snafu that occurred in 2009, because at that time we had the what was called the North American swine flu, which was a combination of H3N2 and H1N2 because of the three attenuated live viruses that were in the vaccine in 2000. In 2000. And then, so people had gotten that one. The H1N1 vaccine still worked against it. But then in 2009, people got the Eurasian swine flu along with the North American swine flu, and both viruses got into the cells of the humans, and in each cell then there was a reassortment. And in 2009, when the vaccine was put out, people already had the 2009 human H1N1, and the vaccine was ineffective, and we have a pandemic. Why they were allowed to do that? Well, there's lots of questions about why did they do that? But we're not their bosses.
No, I know why they did it. I know why they did it, and it doesn't take a big mental leap. And I'll just go back up a bit. After 9/11, we had a small number of what's called BSL-4 facilities. The gentleman that I trained under, Dr. Robert Brown, was a bioweaponer that worked in the Rutgers campus and also in Bethesda in the early 1970s. In 1971, the virus got out of containment at a facility on the Rutgers campus, Class 4, negative pressure facility, and it was the only day in 10 years he was sick and at home with the flu. All of his colleagues and all of the laboratory animals were incinerated at 2,000 degrees in the facility because they're locked down as soon as there was a alarm go off that the virus got out of containment. It's called the T-virus, which is a recombinant virus that was decades ahead of what people thought we had. You put in combining a viral capsid and an injector core that would paralyze you and make you suffocate. A canister at 1 kilogram at 40,000 feet dispersed over the Boston to Washington corridor, in his words, would paralyze and suffocate 4.5 million people. That's what they estimated from dispersion in the lower atmosphere. So it could be used as a weapon in the battlefield with a drone or a missile, and it would very quickly disperse, so within a half an hour or so, once it's dispersed, it would basically have very little effect. The problem that people don't realize is that after 9/11, they had BSL-3 and BSL-2 facilities handling BSL-level-4 bioweapons. When they had the major hurricane and storms hitting New Orleans, they had BSL-4 facilities with things literally in a laboratory where foreign students had access, and the only thing they had to block through somebody walking in there during the storms was a chain-link fence and a padlock. Sloppiness is what's going on. They also have people using inferior equipment and not negative pressure facilities handling dangerous bioweapons where there's total separation with a separate air system, etc. And I'm an expert on these because I work with these guys. As I can tell you, sloppiness, low standards, and allowing foreign students to get access to these bioweapons, you can literally walk in and walk out in your lab coat with two or three very major bioweapons in a little vial in your pocket. Some of these are lyophilized, so they're in an inactive state, and they just need to be reanimated in the back of your fridge months or years later, and now you can take a spray bottle and a bus tour in, say, Chicago or New York, and spray it out the window of the bus, and everybody starts dropping dead. So that's the reason why they did it. They did it because they're sloppy. They knew it was going to create new recombinants. Remember, in 2006, all 183 nations signed treaties that if a major influenza spread around the world, automatically these treaties get activated to pass over the healthcare systems to the United Nations and the medical systems to the World Health Organization. Total control, not partial, total control. So they want this form of bioterrorism. They want this biosecurity issue so they can get total control of the planet, of the military and healthcare systems. And you have to have control of both if you're going to have a new world order. That's why Obamacare is a new world order bill. That's why it also has a chipping of the population by 2018. That's why it has codes for what I call death panels. So if you're 72 and you need a clipped aneurysm in your brain, they're going to meet till Tuesday to meet the ethics committee, but you need it in 2 hours. If the doctor does the treatment, he gets hundreds of thousands of dollars of fine for the first violation. The second violation is $500,000 of fine and 5 years in federal penitentiary. Did you know that? Do you know they also have a code that the guillotine is a medical treatment ICD-9 code? Okay? So people don't know just how damned evil our government, Obama, and his healthcare providers are under Obamacare. People like Trump damn well do know that what's going on. And so when these guys create new recombinants with a vaccine that they purposely knew would make mixing vessels of humans, they wanted this, and they guaranteed numerically you could calculate out the chances of recombination and the number of people they vaccinated. They knew it was a certainty that there would be an emergent new super strain. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, I want to get back to reassortment.
Well, that's why they did it. That's the evil psychology behind it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Reassortment. Okay, you remember when the H3N2, which was an avian flu, came into the country and was killing chickens. Then people caught H3N2, and they got sick, some of them. And then dogs had H3N2, and dogs died from it. There were many dogs that died from the H3N2. You'd think that they'd all have the same composition. But reassortment explains why people do not catch dog flu. Your dog does not catch H3N2 from you, and you do not catch H3N2 from your dog.
Right.
There are now 18 H proteins and 11 N proteins in the bird flu. The human H3N2 is made up of different proteins than the dog H3N2. So if we were to label them, the H's would go from HA, HB, HC, HD, HE, all the way up to HR. And that would be 18. And the N's go up to 11, so they start at MS and T and U and V. And because we run out of the alphabet, we get to NZ, and we still have four more. So I call them N alpha, N beta, N gamma, and delta.
Right.
So I have a nice little chart, and it's going to be hard to describe, but we're going to try. But you need to go to the blog or the live stream channel in order to see this. And the human, for instance, would have the let's say it would be composed of the HB, HE, and the HH, and the NT and the NV. So that's three H's and two N's. But the dog H3N2 would be identified like, for instance, HH, HK, HM, and N, NZ, and N gamma. So that's why you don't catch the flu from your dog, and why your dog doesn't catch the flu from you. Because even though the nomenclature is the same, that is H3N2, and it is confusing for people to try to understand that, we need to be a little more specific when we're dealing with the public and let them know that which of the H's are being used and which of the N's are being used when they talk about a particular.
Right, so you have to know the specific subtype. Now, we know with the avian flu, there were birds that were affected with H5N1 at zoos in Indonesia, and they were infecting people with bird fecal matter that was airborne particles that were being inhaled and causing new cases of airborne avian flu. And a lot of people in Asia have the chickens hatching and growing on the roof of their homes in China and Indonesia and these other areas in Asia.
That's right. That's right. So, we're talking about Ebola and influenza. And as it turns out, there are seven Ebola proteins. Now remember, that's an RNA virus. And 11 influenza proteins. So, 7 times 11 is 77. These viruses, the Ebola and the influenza, share only one protein. So, out of 77 combinations, only one is possible, and that's where this one protein that they share match. So that makes the likelihood of reassortment between Ebola and influenza unlikely, because one out of 76 is about 1%. So is it possible that Ebola could become airborne? It's possible, but it's not probable.
Yeah, it's possible. And if it shows up at all, it's going to mean it's been tweaked in a lab. Just like one of the virologists a little over a year ago decided he was going to go through 10 passes of H1N1 flu through ferrets. And by just irradiating them with cobalt-60, he could weaponize it with 10 generations of the virus passing through 10 different ferrets. So people don't realize it's really easy to weaponize a virus by just stressing the host and causing the virus to mutate at very accelerated rates.
Okay. The reassortment of familiar viruses can produce a virus that escapes the attention of the immune system or replicates faster than the immune system can kill it. Now, as far as Zika goes, the immune system isn't even trying to kill it. In other words, it escapes the attention of the immune system altogether. But let's say we have virus L and virus M, RNA viruses, and they are both in a human cell, and the outcome when they, you know, what they want to do there is replicate until the cell wall breaks, and then they go and they hit another cell. So the outputs are more L's and more M's, and then because of reassortment, you can get like an R3, let's just say an R3, and we don't know what an R3 looks like. And so our bodies don't know what an R3 would look like. And it might not even look like a virus at all. And so far, we know the Zika virus has escaped detection by a human immune system. And its family, there's only one virus in its family that has a vaccine, and that's called yellow fever. So there is a yellow fever vaccine, and almost everybody that goes into the military has to take that vaccine. But what they decided, they were unable to use a inactivated dead virus. They had to use an attenuated live virus to make this vaccine.
Wow.
Which means, yeah, now you got it.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and so some people have a bad reaction to the yellow fever virus, and in fact they may have lifelong symptoms because this vaccine will mimic the symptoms of the central nervous effects like Zika and other members of the family like West Nile virus. So that is a short course on RNA. And DNA, and we don't know why the dendritic cells do not recognize any of the flaviviruses as threats, but they don't. They just let them in, and they go everywhere. They cross the placental barrier, they cross the blood-brain barrier, they cross the ocular barrier, and so we're getting all of these strange symptoms from people who get Zika. And then what they discovered is that it doesn't remain in the blood very long. Yes, it's blood-borne, that is, the mosquitoes that carry it, do get into the bloodstream, but the Zika virus itself is no longer in the bloodstream after 3 days.
Yeah, it goes into sequestered areas of the body like the uterus, the eye, the testicles, and other areas of the body where it may persist. But it's actually, in a sense, embedded in the RNA of the people through their various cells, along with probably the Oxitec OX513A double-stranded DNA transposon jumping riddle gene.
We talked about riddle previously. You know, I have a blog up on that.
Yeah, exactly. That last week we did a good review on that. So what's the bottom line? And we have a few minutes left before we get to the next break. To summarize, what you're saying is there's a lot of genetics that make it unlikely for Ebola to become airborne, but it could be if it's weaponized. They're going to try to have plausible deniability, just like the plausible deniability of the creation, as you show in, I think, page 2 or 3 of your blog today. That the emergence of this virus that occurred with a very bad vaccine policy was actually something that was easily predictable. In other words, they actually created the circumstances to pretty well guarantee that they're going to create a new recombinant North American swine H3N2 and H1N2 virus, and the 2009 human H1N1 that came out of that. So by putting these vaccines together, they actually created a very high likelihood of recombination, creating the new super weaponized flu.
And that's what happened. In 2009, we had the H1N1 pandemic. And they're still trying to come out with a new vaccine that will stop it. But they're just, it just keeps getting worse. Once the reassortment occurs, then you have to characterize it, and then you have to put out something in the vaccine that will kill it. And they insist on using attenuated live virus vaccines. I don't know why that is, but they don't have to. they can use the inactivated virus vaccines just as well, and then you don't have any problems with the live virus.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I know why they do that, because the level of adjuvants is so high in order to use dead virus, it would cause toxic effects when people would pull back when their arm feels like a donkey kicked them. And I remember talking to people that got the biopreparat anthrax vaccine, military guys, and these are special forces, and they told me it was like, and these are tough guys, okay? They would jump out of a helicopter with a 90-pound backpack and run 26 miles in the dark with a night vision scope. They said it was like being kicked across the room by a donkey, and they couldn't literally sleep for a week. It hurt so bad to breathe. So, So they don't want to add more adjuvants because they get people ticked off of what are you doing to me? Especially if they stack more than one vaccine, which they often do in the military.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
And welcome back. And so, Ann, let's summarize. A lot of stuff is pretty technical, but we've summarized that they're sloppy on purpose. They're increasing the risk of new super emergent flu and other viruses. And the vaccines are, by the most part, useless. The only ones that I would say, as long as you make sure you don't get the toxic ones, like the ones they gave to the Kenyan Doctors Association, discovered that contain antibodies that they generate with human chorionic and anatropin to damage the placenta in early-stage pregnancy, are the tetanus shot and the Pneumovax, the Prevnar. Beyond that, most vaccines are useless and dangerous, like the RNA vaccine that is the Gardasil, actually produces super pseudotumor cerebri, polyneuropathy, narcoleptic attacks where you fall asleep or drop down to the ground and maybe even break your teeth off. And it's amazing to me that they continue persisting in making vaccines that almost always, if they were a marksman and were in a special forces or police force, they'd be told to get in another line of work because they never hit the target. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's something, they need to do something different. I mean, they are, it's just getting worse and worse.
Well, like the reason is they're playing with their mental blocks. If I could sit down with, say, 10,000 of these so-called environmental and immunological scientists, I could read them the Riot Act in a lecture and then have them all shaking and having seizures in their seats in the theater. Because the fact is they're playing with their mental blocks, they're doing something, it's like a bug hitting a glass window that's closed. The bug can see through the window, but it can't get through it because it doesn't understand what glass is. And, you know, yes. If you play with your mental blocks, you're never going to get through the glass. And that's the problem. They can't solve the problem because they won't stop playing with their mental blocks. They think if they make the ultimate vaccine, they're going to stop super pathogens. And in fact, in many cases, like they found in China when they vaccinated the chickens in China with their H1N1 vaccine and the overuse of antiviral drugs, they actually pushed the evolution to create new super weaponized versions of the virus. They actually sped the evolution away from the so-called vaccines and away from the toxic use of overuse of antiviral drugs. They actually made it grow faster. Isn't that crazy?
Well, there is an article out of the UK, you know, they have the National Health Service over there, and you can get better. I think their information is more public than it is here. But they had an excess number of people who died in 2015 compared to 2014, and we're only talking 1 year.
Which vaccine are you referring to, the flu or some other virus?
That's from the flu. And it was the largest percentage increase since 1968. Well, you're talking 40 years ago, at least 50 years ago.
Right. Are you referring to the flu that came over Christmas and the new year, the new NP1H1 flu?
Well, they were supposed to remake the vaccine. But I'm not sure they ever did that. I think they just gave everybody the same old vaccine. And it says the number of deaths in England and Wales was so high that it lowered life expectancy for girls born in 2016 by 2 months.
Well, listen to this. Canadian government had a presentation 5 years ago by the Canadian Parliament by their own immunology virology labs and their reference lab in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And it actually double the risk of getting flu complications and death if you're vaccinated with an inappropriate vaccine that didn't target the specific substrate. It doubled the risk. So, you know, good science, and when we come back after the program today, we'll expand on this and show your fancy pictures and explain, yeah, it sounds like it's fancy gobbledygook, but it's important that you have at least a knowledge of it to know that what they're doing is illogical, dangerous, stupid, and inappropriate. Back in a moment with hour number three, The Firing Line. Host is Michelle, asking your health questions, 888-212-8871, or by email. I'm in the batter cage. We'll be back in a moment.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.